Hey, it's Lindley, and you're listening to Married to the Game, a series that explores the lives of professional basketball players through the people who matter the most to them, their partners. Being married to a pro athlete isn't always as glamorous as it looks from the sideline. I'll speak with women from around the world about their experience in the sporting industry. Hey, I hope you guys have been enjoying these episodes. I've been having a lot of fun making them, and I'm super excited to introduce my next guest. Coming from Gran Canaria in Spain's ACB, I chat with Megan Innes, originally from Queensland, Australia. She was playing Division I basketball at the University of Oregon when she met Dylan, who was also playing there. She tore her ACL twice, which forced her to retire early from playing. But she's never stopped supporting Dylan. Together, these two have moved around the world for basketball contracts. They have two adorable children, Amaya and Chance, who were both born abroad. In the last five seasons, they've encountered just about everything you could imagine. And I'm excited to share this episode. Enjoy. Okay, well, I am so excited to have you today. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
I would actually like to start with Dylan and your love story, how the two of you met. And if you could walk me back through that time, that would be amazing.
Okay. It's kind of crazy because every time people say like, where are you guys? Well, where are you from? And we both kind of stop because I'm like, well, I'm Australian and he's Canadian. And then, so we met in America when we were playing for the University of Oregon. And I think it was 2015. So I transferred there from a junior college and I had just torn my ACL, which I'd obviously never been injured my whole life, like not even a broken bone. And then I go to my dream school and I tear my ACL like immediately. So then... I don't remember the exact like moment we met, but well, first of all, I remember meeting him and we were in like the corridor and like he's very like confident and like, so he walked in, he's like, hey, I'm Dylan Innes. And I was like who introduces himself with their full name? Like, you know, like I was kind of like, what the heck? So I was like, okay, like whatever. And so then like the following day, I was on my crutches and like, you know, like hobbling around and he was like, oh, I feel so bad for you. Like, can I give you a hug? That's what he said. So then we started talking and then he actually broke his foot like not long after that.
No.
Yeah. So then it was like a love story in like the rehab room because like we were both in there like every day, like we're both injured. We're both like totally out of it. So that's kind of how it started because like that was his fifth year. So that was his last year of college. So that he was like really upset about it, obviously. But then he actually applied for a sixth year. I think he's like the oldest person that's ever played college basketball.
We have some friends like that too. We're like, how old are you? And you're like late 20s. How are you still like?
Yeah. I think it was like 25 or 24. I'm like, it was crazy. But yeah, so then his sixth year got accepted. So he came back for another year and then I was back for another year. But then I tore my ACL again. So that was horrible. But yeah, so then we like got really close those 2 years because we were pretty much injured the whole time.
But yeah, those knee surgeries are tough too. Raz had a couple while we were dating and he was so depressed because you can't do much. Yeah. Like, did you get the full leg brace?
Yeah, I had the full brace and then my knee got infected from the surgery. So then I was like in hospital drips in my arms and like it was miserable. Yeah.
Wow. And over in the States as well, like away from your family. So I was Googling Dylan and I assumed that he was American only because you guys had like met in Oregon and I was like, oh my God, like he's actually.
No, so he's actually Jamaican. Both of his parents are full Jamaican, but he was born in Canada and raised in Canada. So he's Canadian, Jamaican. I mean, yeah. It's pretty crazy because we're like complete opposite sides of the world. So it makes things a little more difficult on top of living in Europe. So
yeah. I feel that. Yeah, we kind of are like that as well. And it's kind of where do you end up living? Where is home? Because it's never going to be home for like both people, you know? But our parents are now in the same country, which is kind of cool. And I'm sure your guys aren't. So that's kind of, I'm sure. Yeah. Have you guys thought about that? Like where you would want to?
We go like back and forth, you know? So I think the plan hopefully is Dylan will play out his career here as long as he wants. And then when he's feel like he's close to retiring, we'll go to Australia and he'll play in the NBL. Hopefully like that's the plan, but.
Oh, nice.
We hope that he can play in that for like 3 or 4 years so that we can be there and then like just go from there. But yeah.
So good. I love the NBL only for the fact that everybody speaks English. Well, for a lot of things, obviously, but because everyone speaks English here, like it's so easy to live. Like we came here from Europe and I'm like, oh, like.
It's I'm crazy done. When you hear people speaking English, you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, like, I'm like, we're never leaving.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. So cool. Okay. So take me back. So you're kind of a basketball rock star, like in your own right, for sure. And so where did you go to college? So you started in a JUCO?
Yeah. So I went to JUCO in Nebraska. So it was like in Norfolk, Nebraska. It's like a little town, like I think it was a 2-hour drive from Omaha. And I actually went there with one of my closest friends, Yasmin Miller. She played with us growing up as well. She was from the Sunny Coast. And so the coach like recruited me, but then I was like, okay, I'm only going if like my friend can come, because I was so nervous to like leave Australia. Aww. And he was like, yeah, we need a 4, like, let's go, like, let's send him, like, send me her tape. So he watched her. He's like, okay, I love her. So we both ended up going together. And like, it was the funnest, like craziest experience. Like, cause we had no idea what we're getting ourselves into. Like, no idea. And like JUCOs are kind of crazy, so we were just like, it was so fun. I mean, without her, I'm not sure I would have had the same experience, because like probably would have been very like intimidated and stuff, but with her, like, my gosh, like the stories is just like, I don't know how we survived, but we did. So that was really fun, and we had a really good coach, and the community obviously was like super small, but they're like so loving and like welcoming us. Yeah, so it was really nice. We made some really good friends. Like, we're still friends with those people, like, today. So that was really sweet. And then, yeah, from there, my sophomore year, I started getting recruited then to, like, go to a 4-year after that.
Cool. So you did 2 years. You did 2 years at JUCO, and then you went to Oregon.
Yeah, so nice. Then I went to Oregon. But I actually never really got to play at Oregon, because literally as soon as I got there in the summer, I tore my ACL. And then, so I was out for that year, and then I played like a few games, but I never really got back to like myself, and then I tore it again. So I don't really even think I played Oregon, which sucks, because like, I mean, it's amazing, but, and I still actually have like 1 year of eligibility left, but when Dylan decided to leave, like to come overseas, I was like, all right, that's my sign. I'm going.
Yeah. Oh, crazy. How interesting though.
I mean, it's, sorry.
And did you love like being in Oregon? Did you guys like it there?
Yeah, I mean, like for me, it was so rough because I didn't like play. And like, I mean, growing up, I was like, not to brag, but I was like a good player and stuff. So then when I went there and got injured, it was kind of like I was back at the bottom, and I had never really been at the bottom. So I was like, it was like really tough mentally to like not be starting and not be playing a lot, because like, that's what I was used to. So that was pretty hard. But obviously I had Dylan and stuff. Like he was like 6 years in, so he could kind of like tell me a little bit more about that, because he kind of had the same experience. But I mean, I loved it, and it was hard as well, you know? So I think if I wasn't injured, I would have had a totally different experience at Oregon.
Interesting.
But
did they support you like on a scholarship and stuff while you were injured?
So it was a full scholarship. So I didn't pay for anything. Like all the medical care and stuff was taken care of too, which is really lucky in America, obviously. And my trainer, I mean, I'm gonna tell her to listen to this, but she her and I like went through it together, like 2 years, like every single day, like that was like my girl, like my ride or die. So I definitely wouldn't have got through it without her. like oh, cool. 2 a.m. when my knee was infected. Like, she was at my house. Like, yeah, she's the best. So I'm very grateful I had her in that experience.
That's cool. But,
yeah.
We were close with our like training staff in college as well, because you like basically live with them like day in and day out.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. They're like your mom away from home.
Yeah. So. And you were so far from home. That's crazy.
Yeah. Now I'm a mom. I can't imagine like how my mom felt like in those situations when I was like on the way to the hospital, like, hey, just tore my ACL again. Like,
yeah, for sure. Also fun to talk to you too, because you're like a special type of wag. Like, the kind that has played basketball is really different than the kind that hasn't, like, you know, because I imagine you have a really different relationship with it. And so, like, I played volleyball in college, but I watched Raz play, and like, I know the rules because I've watched him for years, but I never played, you know. So you definitely don't know it like a player. And I've been watching his games with some of the professional women over here, and they like see it, you know, totally different. And I imagine, do you still get like really into it when Dylan plays and like watch every call and like?
Yeah. And cause I was a point guard. So like, I kind of like, that's your role, is to see the whole floor, to like, you know, to know what's going on. And Dylan's a shooting guard. So like, a lot of the things that I would do is so different to what he would do, because his role is to score and mine is to get everybody involved, you know, what was to get. So yeah, there's a lot of times I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I just like put my head down because I'm like, what is he doing? Like, what is he doing? But that's what he does, you know, like, he knows what he's doing. But for me, I'm like, oh my goodness, like, this is crazy. But I mean, I think we like, he respects me in a way that like, if like, I'm like, hey, like, I think this was like, maybe you need to work on this or whatever. And he obviously respects that. And he's like, okay, like I think he needs to work on his floater. And he's like, yeah, for sure. Like, this summer, like, I'm going to work on it, whatever. So I think it's nice, but then it also just makes me more nervous because I like know what's going on. So I'm like, I'm two steps, like, I know what's about to happen. So I'm like freaking out. And
I love that.
Time I watch a game, I just like, I feel sick the whole time because I'm just so nervous. But
That's so great. So that's, I mean, I love that, because it's kind of like you've kind of like been one of his coaches for like the last like 8 or 6 seasons, like however long you guys have been on the road, like every year his turnover, but you're the one that's there every year kind of like watching him evolve. And so I'm sure that he gets a lot of like that from you. Do you guys like debrief actual games at all, or is he like the one of these where you just like don't talk about it until the next day, or like
he used to be really bad, like he didn't want to talk about it if they lost or if he played bad, like maybe at the end of Oregon and stuff. But then like as he became a professional, like he would rely on me more and like have to talk to me because there was no one else to talk to, you know, like when you were there. And then now with kids, it's like even different. Like, he can't be all miserable because you're waking up at 7:30 to your kids like yelling and laughing. So it's like, it's a blessing, because like, you have to forget about that, because at the end of the day, it's just basketball, you know. So but yeah, I mean, now we talk about it and he's fine and stuff. But yeah, in the beginning, we wouldn't like even, but I'm still like respectful if it's like a bad game or like a loss. Like, I'm not gonna be like, oh, you should have done this, you know. Like, I just like let him bring it up and then I'll talk about it. But no, he's really good in like talking like that. So
that's cool. I feel like Raz and I have evolved over the years as well. Like, at this point, we've been doing it for so long that I'm like, if they have like a bad loss, like, it's not going to ruin my night. And so I'm like, look, buddy, you're going to suck it up, and we're going to dinner. Like, we've got plans.
Exactly. Yeah.
Whatever. No. Like, the next morning, I'm always like, and so I feel like that's kind of like the evolution that comes, like, when you get to the professional level, like, it becomes like real work and it's like part of your life, and you have to integrate it into a way that's like holistic, and it kind of looks
everybody. It has to be part of life, like, you can't just fully focus on that. So he's learned.
So speaking of life, so are you guys in the off season right now?
So this is the summer break, I guess.
Okay, cool. So what are you guys, I think I asked you that, I was like, are you coming home? And you were like, no. And so what are you guys up to?
So, well, I think it's been like so this is the third summer that we're staying in Europe, because the first summer was COVID, so we didn't obviously Australia was like closed to the world, and Canada was just really bad in like how many cases and stuff, and so we just decided to stay, and we did some traveling around Europe, which was nice. And then last summer, Chance, my son, was born in June, So by the time we got his, if we even got, we still don't have a passport, but anyway, it would have been too rushed. And then this summer, we're still waiting on his passport. So we actually can't fly out of country.
And he's so Spanish. Is he Spanish?
So he was born in Spain, but they don't give out passports just for being born. Which I understand, because like you would, everyone would just come and have a baby here, I guess.
Well, that's what they do in the US. Like people just cross the border and have a baby.
Yeah.
So
which is, I understand it. It makes my life a lot more difficult, but I understand.
Yeah.
But he can, like, we can apply for his passport now that he's been living in Spain for a year. So you have to be born and then live for a full year before you can start to apply for a Spanish passport. But we applied for his Australian passport. That's a process too. I mean, you have to apply for their citizenship first because he wasn't born there.
Yeah.
And then obviously I'm Australian, but you have to prove like 100 different things that I'm Australian. And then it's even more difficult because you need like an Australian endorser or whatever to sign off, but you live in Europe, so I don't know another Australian out here that can do that. So we were like, it was a process just to get the citizenship, which took like 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
And then once we got that, then we can now get his passport. So we just went to Madrid last week to the embassy to do the interview and stuff. So now I think it's another 6 weeks wait for the actual passport to come in. So once we get that, do something. But
you guys are so international. I'm just like, I'm tickled. Like, I think it would be so funny. Oh, you guys like explaining like an immigration person, like your story. Oh. Cause they're probably one of you is Spanish.
So it's like, she has an Andorran passport because they do give it when you're born there. Well, that was a process too, but they gave hers. And then Dylan actually has a Serbian passport too, because his agent here is Serbian, and you can get passports if you can like know different people or whatever. And we played in Serbia. Yeah. So he got a Serbian passport. Yeah. So that was fantastic. But it's really good for him because he played there and he was able to get it. Now he can get, like, he's not an international player. He's
a European player.
So yeah, when we go to cross a border, it's like, he's either on his Canadian or Serbian passport. I'm Australian. Amaya's Andorran. Well, now Amaya and Chance and myself will all be Australian passports. So that's at least better.
Hopefully. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Crazy. Okay. So you've hit so many things that I'm like so curious about, but I'd love to talk to you about kids and like having kids. First of all, your kids are adorable. I just followed them on Instagram. I was like, oh my God, they have their own Instagrams. Like, they're so cute.
Of course.
They're adorable. But like having kids abroad and just like in that vein, I know there's lots of women like me, like it's crossed my mind. I know like I'm of age, like we're married. I'm just too scared. Like I'm just, you know, we're moving so much and I'm getting up there. Like we probably should, like I'm 28. I'm like, I should, you know, we should start thinking about it, but then I am like a chicken. Cause I'm like,
that's why women are so hard. I mean, we have this clock that's on us, which is just so unfair, but
yeah. Yeah. So what has it been like for you? And I want to hear this story coming from you, like your, both of your birth stories and maybe your first pregnancy, like what you were thinking back then, like were you scared? Yeah. Was it planned?
Yeah, so I think we were so naive to like what children meant at all, like not meant, but how much work it was, let alone like overseas. Like we didn't even like think twice about trying. We're just like, oh yeah, like we want a kid, let's like try. And it actually took us like 10 months to fall pregnant with Amaya. So I was like, obviously like freaking out, because obviously you hear, oh, I accidentally slept with someone and now I'm pregnant. So I'm like, oh, it must be easy to get pregnant. You know, like I had no idea, but it took us 10 months. So then it was crazy because we were in Canada the 2018 summer. And that was like, we were still trying then. So then I was like, okay, when we get to Andorra, if like, we're not pregnant, we have to like go see someone. Cause like, maybe something's wrong. Like, I don't know. Like, I've never checked that, you know?
Right.
So we got to Andorra and I think it was like a week. We had just landed. It was like a week and I was so tired. And I was like, maybe it's like, I'm so jet lagged, like whatever. But I felt like nothing, like no pregnancy symptoms or anything. I was just so tired. But I just thought jet lag. Anyway, And something like came over me, like Dylan was at like one of his like preseason practices. And I was like, I need to take a test. Like, I just feel like weird. So I took a test and I was pregnant. And I was like, what the heck? Like every other month for 10 months, I thought I was pregnant. Like I would feel something. I would like convince myself like, oh, like whatever. And this month I felt nothing. Like I was like, there's no way, like whatever. But I was. So that was crazy. But then Amaya's pregnancy was so easy. Like I had no symptoms. I was like I didn't even feel pregnant. I barely had a belly. Like it was like the easiest thing, right?
Yeah.
And luckily we had one doctor there, the OBGYN. She was the only one in Andorra that spoke English.
Oh my gosh, I was like, gonna ask. Yeah. That's that's scary.
Yeah, it was so scary.
Were you scared?
I trusted her so much because she was like the best. Like everyone in the whole of Andorra was like, go to Marta, like she's the best. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And like she was like, you could tell she was so professional. She was really good at what she did. So I felt like super comfortable. Like, and I'm like, I think because I've been through like so many surgeries and like away from, I'm not like scared of like things like that. I'm like, okay, like let's do it, like whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so Amaya's pregnancy was so, so easy. And then when it came to giving birth, it was in April, so it's in season. So
us
and the team tried to like time it up as to where Dylan wouldn't miss a game or anything.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
I'll just leave it like that. But anyway, yeah, so I had to be induced and it was kind of shocking. I didn't think the plan was to induce me when we did. I thought I still had like 2 more weeks or something, but it got pushed forward. So I think it was like a Thursday.
So that Dylan could be there so that he wouldn't be in practice or like.
Yeah, so he wouldn't be on the road or something. Yeah. So they wanted him to play like in every game, you know.
For sure.
So I think it was like a Thursday or something. And my doctor like called me and she's like, oh, like, are you ready to do it? I'm like, I thought I still had a few weeks. She goes, oh, well, no, like I think a lot of other people think you should like have it sooner. So I was like, okay. Like if it's fine, I'm like, if my baby's fine and I'm going to be fine, then it's cool. But like, if there's something that's like, could possibly go wrong, then I'm not doing it, you know?
Yeah.
She was like, well, I was 38 weeks and 2 days. So she was like, you know, the baby's grown, her lungs will be fine. Everything's fine. But there's a chance you could have, it's a higher chance you could have a cesarean because if like you don't start dilating, then, you know, we have to get the baby out. So I was like, that's the only thing I was nervous about. I didn't want a cesarean. And obviously, I mean, some people have to have it, some people choose to have it, and that's fine. But I just was like, I can't imagine like having another surgery away. Yeah. So I just was like, please God, like, no.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so she was like, okay, on Saturday morning, like we'll start. This was like Thursday afternoon. So I was like, one day, like I had like one day to like come to terms with like I'm having a baby. And I was like, it's so funny. I was like, ran to my nail salon quick. Like I need to do my nails. I ran to like the waxing place. I was like, I'm having a baby in 2 days. Like I need everything in line. And, but it was like kind of scary because they still wanted Dylan to go and play on Saturday night and then come back and have the baby Sunday morning. Like I was going to be induced Saturday morning and then have him play and then make it back in time. But I was like to Dylan,
oh my gosh,
like, you can't leave me. He's like, heck no, like I'm staying.
I feel like that's like the stars aligning perfectly and like nature doesn't really work like that. Like,
So they were understanding once Dylan was like, no, like I'm not going. And they were good about it. They're like, okay, like that's fine, whatever. But so that was like the game he missed Saturday night. And luckily he did, because once they induced me, like things started happening so fast. And I think it was like 1 a.m. in the morning, I felt like my water break. And then so this was like Sunday morning early. And then everything, it was like so painful. Like, and I'm like really have a high pain tolerance, but I could not handle, like the contractions was so bad that I was like, okay. And my midwife luckily spoke English, and she was the only one in the whole hospital that spoke English, and she had started at like midnight, so like something like aligned, and they were like here, like so she just had started her shift, and so without her, like I truly think I would have died. Like,
so you're telling me before that all the medical staff didn't speak English?
all Spanish. Like I'm literally translating on my phone, like, hey, like the what? Contractions are getting really bad. Like, I'm,
oh
like,
my gosh.
And a few weeks before that, I had a kidney stone and I thought I was going into labor because I was like 35 weeks pregnant. I had a kidney stone and I didn't know. So I was in the hospital like screaming and I was like still translating, God. Like, I'm pregnant. Like, so please don't give me medicine. Like, if it's going to affect my baby, like on my phone, like it's crazy.
Oh my gosh. Wild. Yeah.
Insane.
So a nurse shows up and she speaks English.
Thank God. And I had met her a few like months before, like doing like a midwife check-in. And I had asked her like, hey, like, can I like have you when I'm having my baby? And she's like, I don't know. Like we're all, it's shift. Like maybe I was so nervous. And then when I saw her walk in, when I like called the buzzer, I was like, I just started crying. So I was like, oh my God, like, thank God. Like I could talk to her, you know? So she was really good, but I was dilating so fast. And so I was asking for the epidural and no one, it's like a small country. So like the hospital's tiny. The anesthesiologist or whatever that does the epidural, he wasn't even in the hospital because like it's so small. So they had to call him and have him come in. But by the time that happened, I was like 7 centimeters dilated or something. So when they tried to give me the epidural, it didn't work because I was like already like so far dilated.
Oh, and, my God.
Yeah. And it happened so fast that like it was like so painful because it was like 1 centimeter to like 10 within like an hour or 2 hours, I think. Yeah. So then, I mean, you see like on like the movies and YouTube and stuff, like when women give birth in like America or Australia or something, it's like in their room in a comfortable bed, like it's like nice, you know, like calming. But then they started like, they wheeled me down like downstairs, like into this, like, it's not a dungeon, but it was like really dark. And like, it was like the surgery level, you know? So it was like all sterile and like, which I guess it's good because it's super sterile and stuff clean, but it was like just like bright lights and like all medical stuff. So I was like, oh my God, like what is happening?
When you're 10 centimeters dilated?
Yeah.
So they were like, they moved you.
Yes,
after you tried to have an epidural, they took you down. Oh my God.
No, it's yeah. So I'm like on the bed, like they made me lay on the bed, obviously. And like when you have a baby, if you have a baby, laying down flat is like the worst position because you can't like breathe properly, like whatever. It was just like Dylan really thought that like I was like dying and coming back because like my eyes would like roll back. I was in so much pain. Like it was really bad. But anyway.
Oh my, this is really making me want to have a baby. I'm like, yes, this sounds amazing.
Not all experiences like this. Not all experiences.
Oh my God. But, what was he doing? He was there the whole time. Just, and so did you have any
family? Yeah, he was there.
Was like,
no, it was just me and Dylan.
Okay.
No, just me and Dylan and the midwife and Eleanor, I think her name was. And he kept looking at her like, is she okay? Because like I wasn't talking. Yeah. Like I was just like out. And she was like, she'll be okay. Like, so he's never seen, like, he's seen me through all my knees and everything. And I don't cry, like, I'm whatever. But so he was like shocked, like, what is going on, you know?
Yeah.
But then once my doctor finally arrived and I was like ready to push, I think I pushed like once or twice. It was like, that part was like super easy. Amaya came out. The doctor actually was like, do you want to pull her out? I was like, what? She's like, reach down. So I like grabbed Amaya like under her arms, like, from me and like pulled her up and like put her on my chest. Yeah, it was like the coolest thing. But I was like, I now having two kids, like looking back on Amaya's, I wish I like took it in more, but I was like so tired and like exhausted and I just like didn't even like take it in, you know? So that's what I did like different with Chance. I was like really like in the moment and obviously I wasn't in pain with Chance because I got the epidural earlier.
This
is the same with Chance. It was in Zaragoza, so in Spain, and the midwife that spoke English was still in training. Like the only one that spoke English was like still in training.
Typical like Spain as well, and they don't like to speak English either. I'm working on my citizenship over there, and every time we visit I'm like, oh gosh.
No, and like if you even start to speak English, they're like, oh no thanks, like it's like too difficult, you know. So this was her first delivery was me because she was like in training, whatever. And she wasn't really meant to like be that far ahead, but I was like, I need someone speaking English. So like, they're like, okay, she can do it. Like whatever. So I was like, okay. But with Chance, it was different because, so we have Amaya now and we've like sleep trained them. So they go to bed at like 7:30 and they sleep all the way through till 7, like every day.
Amazing.
So the plan was with like my doctor that to induce me and like time it up where Dylan would put Amaya to bed at 7 and then come to the hospital, have Chance, and then he would go back home with Amaya, like, because we would have like a babysitter just watch the monitor.
Yeah.
And so we timed it up. I went to the hospital in a taxi because I didn't want Dylan and Amaya to drop me at the, I've never been away from Amaya, not one day, not one day, except for giving birth to Chance. So I was like petrified of being away from her. And then so I didn't want her to see me walk into like a hospital and like she starts wondering like what's going on. So I was like, I'll take a taxi. So I took a taxi to the hospital to be induced. I think it was like 5 o'clock. They started the induction like in the afternoon, and I had told them like with Amaya, like it went really fast. So like, will Dylan be here in time for like the birth? You know, like that's the most, but they're like, yeah. Like one centimeter per hour. Like you have, like, you won't give birth till like early hours in the morning. So I'm like, okay. So then the contraction starts. I'm like, I need an epidural like right now. Like I'm not doing this again. My class, like give it to me right away. Yeah. So of course now they wheel me down, but now I'm like ready, right? So I'm expecting like what happened last time. So they wheel me down to like the surgery level.
Oh my gosh. I feel like that's so traumatic. And this, why now
this
time
though, I'm alone, you know, because Dylan's not here. So I'm by myself. So I went down, they gave me the epidural and it worked like right away. I was like, yes. Like I was legit just laying there like so calm. Like I was like, this is great. And this was like 6:30 or 7. So Dylan put Amaya down at 8 originally, I think. Yeah, he put it down at 8. So anyway, so then I'm laying down and they have like monitors on the baby and stuff, obviously, like so you can hear the heartbeat. But then all of a sudden, like Chance's heartbeat stopped, like on the monitors, like whole room went quiet, like you couldn't hear it anymore. So I'm like looking around, like did they turn off? Like what's happening? Yeah. And then I see my midwife, which was her first baby delivery. She like went like blue, like she was like, like what happened? So then I obviously see her and I'm like, okay, fantastic. Like,
yeah.
So then she ran out of the room to get like the head midwife and she came back in. So then they start trying to put me on my side and like trying to find the heartbeat. So I'm like shaking. I'm like telling them like, cut me open. Like just get the baby out. What's going on?
The emotion.
I'm literally doing that because they don't speak English. I'm like, cut me open. Like just get the baby out. Yeah. And then, so then like they went out, three more doctors came in and I was like a mess. Like I thought Chance was like gone.
And Dylan wasn't there yet.
Dylan wasn't there. So this was like 7:20 or something. And so then more doctors came in and they're all talking in Spanish and like pushing on my belly, doing all this stuff. And then finally one of the doctors like clicked, like, where is the baby? You know, like has the baby moved? So is that why like we can't hear it? So then they checked and his head was like out. Like he was like out. Yeah, and like he came out by himself, like his head. So that's why it wasn't picking up his heartbeat, because he was so low that like the monitors were like too high and they weren't. So then I'm like obviously relieved, but I'm like nervous now. Dylan's not going to be there. Like he's still like half an hour away from putting Amaya to bed. But anyway, my doctor wasn't there either. Like he was still at work, like whatever. So then they like call your husband, tell him to get here now. Like we're calling the doctor, like. And they literally like put my legs, they're like, keep your legs like closed. Like don't open your legs.
Gosh.
So I'm on the phone to Dylan. I'm trying to talk, but I was shaking and crying because I thought like my baby had just died, you know? So I was like emotional. I was like, I'm like, you need to get here. He's like, are you okay? I'm like, just get here. Like, whatever. So he put Amaya to bed at like 7:45 or 7:50. And it was like a 10-minute or 15-minute drive from the hospital where we lived. He got there and like 2 minutes, and then I was more nervous. I'm like, Dylan, please don't die when you're driving, like just drive safe. Like, but he was like obviously so nervous. So then he walked in at like 8 something, and then the doctor got there at 8:15, and then the doctor put on his thing, like his gloves, and then he was like, okay, like push a little bit. Then I like pushed and he like pulled him out, and then
he was like open your legs, and he was like, woo.
Yeah, it was like that crazy. So I mean the birth stories are crazy, and I mean I don't know if I was in a, like an English speaking country if it would have went any different, but yeah it was really
amazing. So did you have any family with a second one either? It was just you and Dylan.
Because it was still COVID. Like,
oh, it was COVID.
Yeah. So from Australia, like my mom tried to apply for like an emergency something, but they said like giving birth isn't an emergency, I guess. But they obviously didn't know our situation. We had no one. But luckily it was timed up where Dylan would, he stayed at the hospital till like 1 or 2 a.m. after the birth, and then he went back to be with Amaya.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so it worked out, but it was just crazy. Yeah.
You guys are incredible. I like, honestly, like when women tell me these kinds of stories, like I don't know. Women just like, they give me chills. It's amazing to hear your story because you're so brave. Like I feel like such a chicken, but I guess when you have no other option, like it's like,
you just do it. And the second time I was more scared because I realized like that birth is not just like an easy thing or something that's like always guaranteed, like everyone's going to be healthy and okay. Like with Amaya, I was like so naive to like what birth was or like whatever.
Yeah.
So the second time I was really nervous that like when I left Amaya, I was like maybe I don't come back, you know, like, and that's like scary to think about, but like that's what really hit me, like leaving Amaya to have another baby, but like I wasn't guaranteed to be okay, you know, like
that
second time hit me more because I was like it was bad the second time to think of that side of it, because I didn't the first time because I didn't have any, like I didn't have a baby to like make sure I was back for, you know. So yeah, the second time was like scary, but it went fine. So thank God.
My gosh. What would you say to women who are abroad and like thinking about having babies or pregnant or like going to embark on like the motherhood journey in this industry?
It's like, it's hard. I'm not going to like sugarcoat it. It's really hard, but I mean, also so rewarding in the fact that I think our family, like me, Dylan, Amaya, and Chance, will always be so close because like we've never left them with a babysitter in the day to, like they don't know any different. Like all they know is us, and like we know them so well that I think that like in the long run, some days I'm like, I can't do this. Like I'm done. I'm going back to Australia. Like when Dylan's on the road for like 10 days or something, like, and they're both sick and I'm like, I actually can't do it, but you do, but, it's really hard. Like the days are long, but I think they say the days are long, but the years are short. And that's so true. Like the years go by, like I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. I'm like, what? Like I just gave birth yesterday. But it is hard, but I think if now, like if we would have had help and stuff, I think if people are going to have birth over here, I would definitely like ask one of their parents to come and help them for the first few months or something, especially if it's in season, because the guys, like the team are nice and accommodating, but at the end of the day, they want their players on the road, you know? So if you have to be left with a newborn by yourself in a foreign country.
That's a good point. Yeah. Like find some way to fortify like yourself, especially in those like early weeks and months. I know I've heard a lot of stories from women who, you know, baby's born and dad is just like ripped away immediately or misses the birth or, you know, born in other countries and stuff. And so I think, trying to find a support system.
Yeah.
And would probably really help. Yeah,
for sure. But I mean, it's worth it, but yeah, it's really hard some days, but when Dylan's home and stuff, it's nice. But yeah, when they're on the road, that's when I'm like, and people hire help and stuff, which like I have help now in the mornings for Chance, the babysitter, because now with two, it's like, Amaya goes to school, but if I don't have help in the mornings for him, then I still don't get any time, you know? So we have her like for like 2 hours in the mornings just to come and take him, like, so I can just be free for 2 hours.
Go get a workout.
Or even like just go outside and just like right now Dylan has Chance, but it's like weird being in the house with no noise, like, cause it doesn't happen very often. So, it's just, you feel like a superwoman. So like in that sense, it's like invigorating cause you feel like so powerful because like, some days you really think about like, how am I doing this by myself? Like I had to take the kids to the doctor one time. They were both sick. The doctor's speaking Spanish. They were both crying. I'm just like, what am I doing? And you just do it. And then afterwards you're like, holy crap. Like I just did that, you know, like,
You're amazing. How do you find support yourself? Like, how do you, like, how are you? Are you doing okay? Like, are there days when you just like hate it? How do you find community? And do you have girlfriends like where you are? I know you guys have been, I didn't even ask you, but I know you guys have been in multiple countries over the last, you know, half decade, all over the place. Yeah. Like, yeah, how do yeah. you, and I think that's something that when I talk with women who are, you know, married to professional athletes, that's one of the things that we struggle with the most. It's something that I struggle with. Like, I feel like it's really tough to meet somebody, invest a lot in a relationship, and then leave too. Mm-hmm. And that yeah. you know, hurts me. And I've got a lot of girlfriends that I've become really close to, but it was like for like a very short period. It was like one season. Or some sort of like this season is, you know, kind of weird. We're here for like the off season and like a 3-month contract, which is like really weird. And it's like, should I invest in those relationships? Is it worth it? Like, what, like, you know?
Yeah. This season, I knew one girl coming in, Mallory. We played with them in Andorra. So it was nice to know like she was here, and like her and I have always got along really, really well. And she has two babies now. She just gave birth. But so she had a baby during the boy during the season, and now it's different that like when you come over here, it's nice to have like girlfriends, but it's like to have mom girlfriends, it's like you need that, because like your kids are just like, you know, if we want to go sit and have a coffee, well, my kids are going to be running around going crazy.
So, like, yeah
it's nice if they have a kid too, so we're like, okay, go, you know, like do what you do. But and I became really close with another girl here, Ali. She had a daughter, Sophie, about a year older than Amaya, so it was perfect. Like, Amaya and Sophie were like best buds, like we did everything together. And so there was some days where I'm like, I can't do this, but like I had her, so that was like, that got me through. But then her husband tore his ACL, so they went back to the States. So then this last part of the season has been really hard. Well, it was really hard because I didn't really have anyone that I was close to. So on those days where I'm like, okay, like what am I gonna do, like I need, like I say to Dylan sometimes, like it's hard for the guy to understand, but like some days I don't talk to an adult, like I talk to a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old for like at some days like 24 hours 48 hours on end, and it's like I love my kids with everything, but at the same time I'm like, I need an adult conversation. Like even if it's just saying hi, like, and we joke, like we go to Starbucks like all the time, but I'm like sometimes like in those days where I'm like, I can't do this, like I literally just go to Starbucks just to like talk to the barista just for like 10 minutes. So I'm like, okay, like I feel a little bit more like a human.
Yeah.
So it's like that aspect's really hard.
And then I imagine, especially with the, like the language barrier as well. My mom had, there was three of us, like three girls. And when we were young, she used to complain about, like, she was like, I would go crazy if I didn't talk to, you know, adults. But I imagine too, because where you are, a lot of people speak Spanish. Then it makes it like the level of separation, like even, you know, you have to try even harder. Translator.
Yeah, it's always Google Translate. We've made one. Amaya goes to a school here, like a nursery, and she's made a good, like a few friends from there. And one of the families we're close with now, like she's doing a great job at her English. I mean, and we can't talk because our Spanish is horrible. Like Amaya knows Spanish and she can speak it and understand it.
Wow.
I can understand it. Yeah, Amaya's like incredible. Like she's been growing up Spanish.
So cool.
Yeah. But she doesn't really say it in front of us because she knows that like we have no idea what's going on.
You're like, good job.
Yeah.
High five.
But I understand it a little bit, but yeah, speaking it is like different. So it's, everything's just more difficult, but yeah, we've made a good friend now. We're going to her farm this afternoon actually, but, and like our conversations, we understand each other sometimes without speaking. Like I'm speaking English, she's speaking Spanish, but we like fully understand each other, like what's going on. So it's like, I feel like sometimes it's just like, you just need people that are like good people and good vibes, and you can figure it out even though you don't speak the same language. So
yeah,
I never thought you could do, but now that I'm living here, I'm like, okay, you can definitely do that. But yeah, it's the language barriers adds like another level of like difficulty.
But you can tell when people are genuine too. Like body language is like universal. Like I remember that too when we were in Denmark. There were some people that we had like, you know, struggled conversation, but it was still really sweet because you know that they are, you know, have really like nice intentions and like want to be your friend, even though it's like awkward, like broken English.
Sometimes I'm like, oh gosh, what did I just say? Like, but yeah, it's all good vibes when you find good people. So
yeah. So good. Okay. So are you guys staying there next year as well? Are you guys between a 2-year contract?
Yeah. So we have a 2-year contract. But right now we're just waiting. Some things, I guess, have been going on. So we're just waiting to hear if we will be coming back or not. But I think in July we'll know for sure. I mean, we would love to stay, but yeah, I'm just not sure yet. Yeah, we're coming back.
Roger. That's so funny. It's such a tricky industry, right? Like, it's so funny and it's so unstable and like up in the air. Mm-hmm. And like, I always find it so funny too. Like, I don't know if this is just me, but like a lot of times I'll find a girlfriend and like her partner is like one of the ones that like doesn't play, or like he'll get cut from the team or something, like right in the middle of, like, in Denmark this happened, and I'm just like, no, don't go back to the States. And you're like, wishing you could piece together like all your favorite people from like every year, and like your favorite coach, and all of us are just at like the whim of whoever is, you know, putting pieces together.
Yeah, some seasons I'm like, well, most seasons, like I've like made such good friends that like you share your whole entire life with, you cry together, you laugh together, like you go through so much together in 10 months, and then to never see each other again or to barely even talk to each other just because that's just like life. That's like crazy to me. Like, it's just crazy that like you literally depend on like a girlfriend so much and like share everything. They know everything about you. And then it's like, oh, see ya, like never, you know, like that's crazy to me. Like,
I mean, we all only have like so much capacity to like give to people that are like in our like surrounding space as well. So it's really hard, at least for me, to like maintain a lot of those relationships as well.
It is, especially when you have like so much going on in your day-to-day life. It's like when they're not here, it's like, where do they fit in now? And it's like, you try and reach out every now and then, but it's still like that closeness, like, isn't there because you're not there every day, you know? So it's like, tough, yeah, it's
and then the time zones, and like, I mean, all I have a lot of my best friends are in the States, but like my dad, like if I'm, you know, going to be calling somebody and I've got like 1 or 2 hours of like window when he's awake, it's like, I'm going to call, you know, my immediate family.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. It's hard. It's really hard.
So I think, yeah, that sucks. There's so many things that are so hard about this lifestyle, but that makes it.
Yeah, there is. And it's now it's hard for me as a mom to see like Amaya make really good friends, and then like to have to tell her like when Sophie left, I'm like, I was trying to hold it together, but I just lost it because I was like, okay, like say goodbye to Sophie, like you're never gonna see her again. Like, how do I explain to a 3-year-old that like will have a pretend phone, hi Sophie, like everything is about her, and then to say, oh, you're not gonna see her again, like. So now it adds a whole nother thing where it's like, for me, I can deal with it, but like to have to tell my daughter she's not going to see her friends ever again, I'm like, ugh, like I'm just like, I can't do it. I can't do that to her. But yeah,
And how does Dylan do, like supporting you and the kids and all of this?
Yeah, I mean, he's so good. Like, he's the best husband ever. I'm sure everyone says you're that so every cute. Wife, but no, really, like, he's like, no, so he's intentional. No, he's so intentional and so like thoughtful, and especially with kids, I feel like some guys that become fathers are like, act like they're babysitting their own kids, you know, where like you have to ask them, hey, can you watch them? Hey, can you do this? Hey, but like with Dylan, it's like he never hesitates to like, I think he has 7 siblings, and all of them are younger.
Wow.
The youngest is like just turned 6, I think. So he's like always grown up with little kids. So I think he was like born to be a dad. So that's like really refreshing that like he never hesitates to do anything with them.
Yeah.
Which helps me a lot. And then obviously as a husband, like he knows how hard it is. Like, I think a lot of the times overseas, like families, wives and kids, like the team has the team, but then it's like no one really thinks about the family kind of thing. So I think he does a really good job at like making sure that like they involve us, and like he'll bring us into the gym and like make sure that it's not like, oh, that's his thing and like we don't have that. Like he does a good job of making us feel like we're part of it. And like,
that's so cool. And it should be that way really too. I mean, honestly, like behind, and that was the inspiration for this podcast, really. Like behind these incredible men are women and families holding them together. Truly. Yeah. I mean, here you are behind your husband, like for the last, you know, 5-6 years all over the world, his number one coach, you know what I mean? Like you're the one that's shaping him and keeping him together. Mm-hmm. And so I find that really sad too, that there are teams out there that don't support women or that like, there's lots of women that have been put in lots of really bad situations as well. Mm-hmm. Like Raz and I, on a couple of different cases, like they'll pay for him, but not for me. And like we had to get married at one point too, to like get stuff in writing. And like, it was like, you know, it's like a whole thing. And it's like,
it's so bad. I mean, and I like, it's hard as well, like to fault the team because, you know, they're a basketball club, right? Like they employ these guys to play basketball. Like, so, you know, but it's bigger than that. And I think every country and their sports, it's like, it's not just about money. It's not just about basketball. Like life is so much bigger than that, but they don't, I mean, a lot of these clubs and stuff don't see that because it's their job. It's their life.
It's so silly though. I mean, it's like gorgeous men, like age, like 21 to 35. Like, do you expect there not to be women around them? Or like you expect it to be like this group of women that are like,
I know.
The Jersey Chaser types or something that are like temporary. Like that's just not the case. So you know what I mean?
And no.
That is really hard.
So it's hard, but like, I can't fault Dylan for like not doing everything he can, like to get us involved. And like, I mean, Amaya and Chance, like people are taking pictures with them on the street as well. Like with Dylan, like they love them. So like, I mean, that feels nice, you know, to know that like so many people love like our family and stuff. And
well, clubs do it well too. Like that's amazing too, if you guys are like being supported in your club too. I mean, you can just like feel and see the difference, and I love that.
It's nice. We've had a good time, so let's see if we stay, hopefully.
Okay, cool. We are coming up on like the last 5 minutes. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about? I have like one final question for you, but was there anything that I missed that you wanted to chat about before I hit you with my final question?
Yeah, I mean, I never want to seem like or come off like I'm complaining, you know, because I realize that like in this industry and in sports and stuff, like there's a lot of money at stake and a lot of people in different situations would be very grateful to be making money like this and stuff. And like we are, and to be able to live overseas and like see all these places for free, essentially travel the world. Like that's crazy, you know, like
amazing.
So there's so much good that comes with it. And we're so grateful to be able to do that. And like, it breaks my heart that Amaya has to go through all these friends and all these schools, but at the same time, like she's experiencing like all these culture chances as well, but he's only one, but like all these Spanish cultures.
Like that's beautiful. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And like, it's like it'll be like native for her as well because she's so young.
Yeah, and her teacher like says like, you know, she'll tell that they speak Spanish, like her teacher speak a little English, but like all to the class it's Spanish, and they'll tell them like, okay, we're gonna do this drawing in like pink here and do this here and do this here and do this here, all in Spanish. And like Amaya does the drawing like to the T, you know, like she follows all the instructions like in Spanish, which is like just crazy to me. And the other day I heard her when we had our friends over that speak Spanish, and Amaya was giving something to the mom, and then the mom's like, no, like, are you sure? And Amaya said, sí, which is yes. And I was like, what? Like just looking at her saying that, and she was so confident. She was like, sí. Yeah. Like Amaya, what? Like, that's crazy. So at the same time, like, I love that she can, like, she knows Spanish. She's going to see all these cultures and all these people. And like, those are things that like, you know, you can't trade either. So it's like, this life is really hard, but it's also like really rewarding. And you obviously don't have a long, you can't do this forever because the guys won't play forever. So
that's right. That's right.
You have to make the most of it, but
it's the dichotomy. It's so, I mean, we're still here. We still like love it at the end of the day, but
exactly.
Some days it's tough, but
it's tough, but
there's so many blessings that come with it for sure.
Yeah, exactly. It's you can't, I mean, one day when it's all said and done and we have a quiet, slow life, I'm going to be really excited for that because packing houses and moving countries with like 20 suitcases and kids, and it's like just sometimes
I'm 20.
Like, yeah, well, no, I have like 10 suitcases, but then like the stroller, the car seat.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah, it's just,
I can't imagine doubling our suitcase. I'm like, we can't even pay for our own. It's crazy. It's so bad.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. But all in all, it's a good life. And I mean, it's important that, for me, it's important that, like, obviously you're not going to marry someone that's not a good husband, but that is a good husband to you out here, because really, like, that's all you have. Like, you know, you only really have your husband, and if you have kids or if you have a few close friends, but
yeah, amen to that. There are some amazing men out there.
Yeah, as well. There are.
You definitely, yeah, in this industry as well, you get to see two sides of the coin.
Everything.
That's a story for another day, of course. But... okay, oh, all right. Wow. So my last question for you is, what is one thing that you would tell a woman about to embark on this lifestyle, or actually anybody, like, you know, man or woman about to, you know, marry a professional athlete and they're headed off overseas for the first time, like, what would you tell them? What kind of advice would you give them?
I think initially I would say just, it's not going to be the same, you know, so you have to have an open mind. You have to be able to adapt and to go with the flow. I mean, a lot of things won't go the way that you think they're going to go. Like, that's just how it is. And over time you get to see it more, but initially, like, yeah, like, just have an open mind, like, embrace yourself, like, in the culture, and like, it's just not going to be the same. So just don't have expectations that it's going to be like how you grew up or what you're used to, because it's a different country. It's a different culture. Like,
right,
there's so many things that are going to be different. So I think you just have to be really, like, open and, like,
yeah,
excited to learn new things. And, like, even though if it's not a good thing, yeah, because I think if you're like one-minded or one way, it's going to be really hard because so many things are different.
You know? So good, too. And it's not what you'll, like, you have to manage your expectations, too. I feel like it's not like what it looks like on social media, too. Yeah. Like, I'm always like, my social media, like, looks good, but I'm like, there are really dark days as well.
Exactly,
you know?
No, 100%. I think that's the thing about social media. Like, I'm not going to post when my kid's having a tantrum, you know, but my kids have tantrums. Like, well, Chance, sorry, Amaya doesn't, she's an angel. Chance, he has tantrums and he's one. But yeah, so it's like, it's not always picture perfect, but I'm not going to get out my phone when it's like, when he's on the ground crying, you know? So it's like, I just think everyone has bad days or bad moments and stuff. It's just like, we have to lower our expectation with everything, I think, but that's another topic as well. But
oh my gosh, well, thank you so much. This has been so fun. I feel so refreshed after talking to you. I'm like inspired. I'm like, we should have kids. It looks fun. You guys
you
make
can
it
do
really
it.
Fun.
You can do it.
I'm gonna call you. Hopefully not from a dark dungeon somewhere.
Yeah, hopefully not. Let's hope it's
nice. But
oh, and then I never want to sound like I'm bashing a team or bashing a culture, because I understand that's like their culture or that's what they do. And in that moment, people looked after me really well. And so I'm very grateful for everything and everyone that's helped. But it's just different. It's just different.
You just weren't ready.
just wasn't ready. And that's my own fault too. So.
No one's ever ready for their first pregnancy.
Nope.
Anyway.
Crazy. Cool.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. I want to use this space to highlight stories from partners around the world. I'll put it out there that I'm looking for someone married to a woman athlete in a top league around the world. If you know someone cool, send them my way. And if you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, share with a friend, or leave me a review. And if you've got a story or topic that you want to share, message me on Instagram at Miss Lindley, that is MissLindley on Instagram. I'll take you once around the globe before this season ends. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned.